My inner self was telling me I'm not even qualified to be on here with y'all tonight. So they're saying, you know, I'm not a doctor or a lawyer or any of them things. So instantly, I got to put myself down, right? And I don't understand why I would do that, you know, because I'm a miracle. In God's eyes, right, I'm a miracle, y'all. Coming from homeless, jobless, penniless, man, to being a child of God today.
This is that podcast where we talk about life's problems. And we also talk about the solution to those problems. But if we don't know the solution, we talk about our role in the problem, because I do believe that everyone is recovering from something.
You know, first of all, I want to tell you how I qualify. I qualify because I have not picked up any mood-altering substance in 14 years, 11 months, and 23 days now. We're on a countdown to 15 of days, y'all. I call them 15 years, 15 big ones. And for somebody like me, I'm going to say an addict like me, it's a miracle, right? Okay. I couldn't get one day clean, y'all. I mean, the first one, I'm going to take y'all back to introduce myself to y'all. I was born to a family. I was born in this world, and I was taken from my mom, given to a foster family. And I had everything in the world, everything you can imagine. I didn't want for anything. Didn't know I had another family till I was 8.5 years old. I was removed from that family and put with my biological family, which is where I met my mom, my brothers, my grandmother, my aunts, and my uncles, right? I met this whole different side of family. And it was a change. It was a culture change also. Instantly, I began to wonder who I am. As I didn't live with my mom, I stayed with my grandmother in the house with my aunts, all their kids, and my brothers. We all stayed in my grandmother's house. We called my grandmother Mom. And in Mount Auburn, right there on Law Street. You know, we stayed, I went to Vine Elementary. If anybody from Cincinnati, you know what Vine Elementary is. You know, Mr. Mayweather with the holes in that part, Mr. Castellucci, Mrs. Mayweather. You know, them the teachers' names and principals that I remember from when I was a kid. And when I was growing up, it was like I said, it was a culture. From having everything I wanted over here to not having hardly anything over here, y'all. Everything that I brought with me from my foster family was destroyed within a couple of weeks after moving with my brothers and them. But it was fun, kind of. I was around family. And I'm going to fast forward a little bit, right? You know, because again, in this process, my mom was trying to get to know us. She was in a car wreck. She was really a severe car wreck and was injured really bad. She survived it. Then we was moving with my mother, me and my brother, me and my two brothers. One brother stayed with my grandmother. The oldest stayed with my grandmother. And in the process of living with my mother, you know, we was introduced to a lot of things. I was introduced to weed, you know, drinking and everything, you know, sex. It was Playboys, you know. And my mama told us, you boys can look at all you want to, but you better not look over here.
How old were you?
That's what she was telling. We better not look at her the way we was looking at the magazines. And she said, when I go to the bathroom, the toilet seat better be down. I bet I'll fall in it. I'm going to kill all of you mother suckers. that's basically, like I said, from going from a schoolboy to becoming educated. So
let me ask you this. Now, let me jump in real quick. During that time, about how old were you there?
I was, when I first met my mom, you know, I was 8.5 years old. I moved with my grandmother when I was 9, and I moved with my mother when I was about 11 years old.
Okay, and how old were you when you first started using?
I'm going to get to them. When I first started using, I was very young. I started drinking, sipping out of, you know, about 5 or 6 out of, you know, cans that was laying around, you know, my father's basement, you know, down in the basement where they have company over. You know, that's where it started from, you know, being mischievous. And I recall when I was about On my sixth birthday, it was a white jar in my refrigerator. It was a white glass jar in our refrigerator. And I was curious about it. And I kept saying, I wonder what was in it. So on my birthday, me and my sister, we shared the same birthday. She went to Michael Jackson concert. My dad asked me, what do you want to do? You want to go to Michael Jackson concert, the Jackson 5 concert, or you want to have a party? I said a party, right? But the party wound up being me and my dad and the Angel's Food Cake. But it was this jar with little liquid in it. And I wondered what was in there. I was mesmerized by the jar. So that day, I was going to find out what was in it. My daddy went in the back. I went in the refrigerator, unscrewed the cap, counted it up. And as soon as I did it, he walked in the kitchen, right? I heard him doing it in the refrigerator. I can't hardly breathe. It's burning my chest. And he knew what I did. He was like, what's wrong, Robbie? At that point, I got a taste of it. I later found out it was called White Lightning or Moonshine. My mom, I want to go back before I really started getting high. My mom was shot 5 times by her husband. You know, basically in front of us. My mom went out one day. So that night, he jumped on my mom. When we were so young, we couldn't do nothing. We were scared, petrified. And the next day, when he went to work, when my husband went to work, she came home. She said, I'll be back, y'all. She had a lot of food ready. And when she came back in, she told us to go outside. She was attempting to kill him, but he took the gun and shot her 5 times. So we was moved with my grandmother again. And we finally moved to Commonsville, Moosewood. And that's where the things really started going for me. So I was like, I wasn't even 13. I take that back. I wasn't even 13, 4 days before my 13th birthday. Me and my cousin were drinking out in Winchester with my aunt house, drinking a beer and smoking parsley. And you hear what I said, smoking parsley, right? Not weed.
Right. I got you.
So at that time, I was stabbed in my stomach by my cousin that, you know, he thought I was, you know, we had been drinking, you know, he thought I was going to beat him up. And he stabbed me, wrapped a knife in a towel and stabbed me in my stomach. And I was rushed to the hospital where I almost died. So that's why I tell you about I'm only 13 years old, right? Because I almost didn't live to see it. And from that point, y'all, it became normal to turn up a OE, turn up a brick, they call it a brick, a fifth of rolls, you know, bottom of it, you know, make the cap pop off. You can do that. You cook, you good, right? If you back the bottle off, they spank it, and the cap spin off, right? You don't lose that much. You good. And then, and you know, like I say, quizzes. So at the age of 14, I realized, I noticed my mom's friends and them was running in and out of her room. And I was mesmerized once again, like that jar. I wanted to know what they were doing. So I busted my mom's room one day and all kind of smoke, you know, everybody joined in. And come to find out, they was called freebase back then.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to find out what they were doing. So I manipulated my mom and friends them to allow me to hang with them, you know, without my mama knowing about it.
Okay.
I tried freebase and cocaine at the age of 14, y'all. Not knowing something small would lead me on a worldwide tour, right? It was a worldwide tour, but I wasn't getting paid for it. But that's how I'm saying I'm qualified, right? So that was when I was there. I graduated. I wound up finished. You know, I quit. I went to high school. I completed high school. You know, boxer, right? 1983. That's when I met VL back in 1983. Well, actually, I met him before that. My little brother went to school and played ball with them, right? I wanted to be different. I went all the way from across town to Withrow while they was at Hughes, but my heart was at Hughes, but I went to Withrow. And so, and I was masked, so I became that man. I know to you, it was too many people from my neighborhood that was hip, cool, that I knew I wasn't going to be able to be who I wanted to be, so I went to Withrow and created a whole new person. And I created a man named K.C. Neal, K.C., excuse me, K. Nate Daniel Eugene, Neal, right? So that name meant something, right? So he became cool. I became somebody else.
So you became somebody else. So somewhere in that line, you wasn't all right with who you were. Yeah, did you feel like you wasn't good enough or something?
I told you I didn't know who I was. You know, I called myself a husband. I called myself a son. I called myself an uncle. I called myself a brother. But in all reality, I wasn't nothing. I wasn't any of them things, right? I was in reality hiding, masking, think I'm hiding some, masking the disease of addiction. You know, so it went on and on. And I guess I became like the kid from the child from the prodigal son.
Okay, prodigal son. Talk to me. How your story relate to the prodigal son?
Because, man, for so long I was out there in the world chasing one more, right? I told you I've been in penitentiary. I got a job, I would leave it. I would get a woman, I would leave her. I would get another woman, I would leave her. I would leave him. All for the sake of Mrs. Butterworth. I found myself going to Butterland, saying I'm going to ride one ride. I'm going to spend money. And I wind up being in Butterland. It's like that song, Welcome to the Hotel California. It say you can check in anytime you like, but you can never leave.
Mm.
But it was in Butterworld, right?
You was caught up.
Yes, sir. Mrs. Butterworth ruled every day. She was an officer. She was the head chief. She was the head NCI. She was everything. And I allowed Mrs. Butterworth to control me for so long. So that prodigal son, I knew I was tired. I was sick and tired. I wasn't a bum, right? Because I didn't live on the street. I wasn't doing this, but I was doing things trying to get one more, right? I told you I believe in jobs, so my jobs would become to get one more. So I would go in somebody else to take over their house, right? I would become the doorman. I would become the bouncer. I would become a piece of their furniture, right? Because I was paying them by going out copping and coming back with extra, right, with somebody else's money. So I called myself being a dope boy, right? I called myself, but I cast myself out there fleecing people, and that's selling them fake dope.
Okay. So like the prodigal son, you know, he was out there. They say he was out there, you know, he was living with the pigs. He reached an animal less. Animal level. Tell us about your animal level. That's where you was headed.
Talking about, I'm staying in places, right? They got rats running around. They got bed bugs, and I got my own house, right?
Okay.
Own apartment. I have my own apartment, floor and furnished, right? But I was masking. I was playing that. I was an imposter, right? Because I would come back downtown on the market, right? And down there for Racing Green, you know. On the Philly Market, Back Street and all that, East Clifton. I would hang out down there. And I came to myself like, you have your own house. Why is you still down here?
Mm-hmm. Right. Hold on. With that said, back, well, I love the prodigal son. It said he came to his senses. Tell us. Okay, you hit bottom. You're out there with the animals. You're at the pig level. You know, this. The Bible say he came to his senses. When did you come to your senses?
God, I came to my senses March 18th, 2009, right? That's when the process, because I said, well, I'm going to go get me some help, right? Well, again, you know, I called myself going to Dayton, you know, trying to Salvation Army. You know, up in Dayton, you know, because I ain't one of those sisters, I ain't here. And so I go to Dayton, you know, and I come back and I'm doing good 11 months and 28 days. And I catch myself, you know, blazing up again. But this time, I was tired. I didn't want to come up with no more lies. I didn't want to come up with, you know, no more excuses.
Right. Okay. Let's back up a minute. We still downtown. Okay. We still back there by Philly Market. Okay. Where in that area were right when you had that moment, you came to your senses. Where were you at when you said, I can't do this? I need help.
I was in Uptown Towers, y'all. That's closest place. That's apartment building. That's close to on 8th Street, 8th and it's in us close to haunted downtown, right around a job from the convention center, Duke Energy Center. And I was at this girl house. They done took over, you know, being there, you know. And my sister's at my house, her and her husband at my house. And she, and I, when I, like I said, I left my job and she started talking to me real crazy, recklessly, right? So I didn't want to put my hands on her. So what I did was I put my hands on her even though I didn't want to, right? I grabbed her, I choked her, right? Then I just started pouring water down all the TVs and everything. Said, you're going to talk to me like I'm crazy. And her family was in the building. So I ran from the 14th floor all the way down the steps, out the building, walked, I got all the way to the square, making sure the police didn't see me. And I had one bus token on me. One bus token for out of all that. I had one penny and one bus token. And I called the bus to my aunt's house. My aunt died. I'd only known her for about 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. My dad's sister introduced herself to me, my biological father, I come to find out. And I called the bus to her house. And I spent the night over her house for the first time. And that morning, I got up and I walked to church from Red. I walked from Red and Red Road and what's the name? What is it? Red? What is she staying? Got it. That's crazy. Off of Red Road, right before you turn down, went out with Richard. And I walked there and I walked up down Paddock Avenue. And as I was walking down the hill to church, a voice came to me and says, if you keep doing what you're doing, I'm going to take my hands off of you and you're going to be free will. I knew it was God talking to me. And I kept walking. Voice came again and said, and I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the spirits I kept off of you. So I go on to church. I don't tell nobody what happened. I go to church. So that's that prodigal son.
Right.
But God, okay. I know that I had better, right? So I left church and I went home and I told him I'm going into treatment. So I got 30 days. I'm going to check myself here. So that Friday I went to the Joseph house and I did an assessment. And that Monday I went into the Joseph house, March 21st, 2009.
You know, you went to Joseph. What is Joseph house? There's a lot of listeners. You don't know what the Joseph house is.
Okay, the Joseph House is a treatment facility for veterans, for veterans that want to change, you know, that want to stop doing what they're doing, want to find a way out of not going back to the war zone.
Okay.
That's what the Joseph House was, and it saved my life, y'all. With God directed me there, because I had a choice of Mighty Area Shelter or the Joseph House.
Okay.
And you know, the Joseph House, I was scared because that was right in, that was right in, that was my jungle. That was why I wanted it, right? That was all I was. I got high right across the street from the Joseph's house.
Okay. Okay. At the Joseph's house, what was your thought process in there? What was going through your mind while you was there? There's a lot of people right now that's in treatment, right? They listen to this. Share with them your thought process. What was you thinking? How did you feel about yourself while you was there?
When I was at the Joseph House, my first thing said I was going to do everything that they told me to do. I was determined to do everything. I didn't understand. You know, I was determined to find out everything that it was. That it was about, you know, learning about what were reservations was, you know, learning about just turning, you know, going. I guess they had a thing to say, they fed us breakfast. They took us to the cat house, which is a treatment facility, where they took us there to eat breakfast, then transported us back to the Joseph house where we did class. Then at lunchtime, they didn't feed you lunch. So you would either have to go to Our Daily Bread or Tom's Kitchen to eat. And all this was within my job. Everywhere I got, it was right by the market. They said, we don't care if you eat or not. As long as you go up there and touch the wall and come back. And I did. Y'all. I had to walk through. I walked all the way around. Me and another addict, we walked all the way around, touched the wall, went back, right? And God, your fortune, like I said, I knew it was God, right, guiding me, right? I knew it was only him. Because when he spoke to me going down that hill, I didn't want to find out the consequences of what he'd been keeping off of me. And I knew what it was because I recall back in the days when I was out in Lincoln Heights, I'm looking in the mirror and if the drain wasn't down in the sink, right? And some kept trying to pull me down the drain, trying to make me go crazy, trying to pull me down that black hole. And I wouldn't. I knew. So at this time, I knew it was God that was guiding me. through the Joseph House, right? I knew that he was, his hands was all on me, right? Because I had preachers before telling me, they said, Brother Neil, you start out in the front of the church, now you're in the back of the church. You're going to mess around, you're going to be on the outside looking in. And he told me, the pastor said, you're going to be downtown selling pencils for nickel. You keep it up. I recall one time I was down on Nightmare on Elm Street. That's Elm Street. I call it Nightmare on Elm Street, right? With Freddy Krueger, right? And lady told me, she said, it was a Sunday morning. I came out and I had a glow on me. She said, what are you doing down here? You don't belong down here. She said, you're going to mess around. You're going to stay down here and you're going to allow them to change your heart. She said, you got a glow on you. You're going to lose all of that. And she started pointing around with guys sleeping on the stairway. She said, you're going to wind up like him. She said, you're going to wind up like them. I said, no, I ain't. She said, you keep staying down here and find out.
Okay.
Teaching myself, y'all.
You see how God uses people? You see how God uses people?
Yes. Yeah. And as a person that to see me coming back and forth, and she knew my speeches, the spirit touched her, right? And she didn't want to see me grab it up, you know. She didn't want to see me, you know, grab it up, right? And right. I thank God for her, you know. I wish I could see her today and thank her.
Okay.
God uses us. Wherever we are, I understand that. I'm learning that today. God uses us wherever we are at. With nobody, but you mean, God can still use you if you're allowing to.
Right, okay? Right. So you in there? Okay. Did you have any thoughts about leaving early?
No, no. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna tell y'all something. I said I'm not leaving until God tell me to leave. Right. I stayed at the Joseph House for 2 years exactly. 2 years. And 3 days.
Okay.
2 years, 3 days. I stayed there. I did everything they said. When I was going to work and I was in treatment, after 90 days, I phased up to a transition. I transferred from a room of 6 people to a room of 2 people. And then from a room of 2 people to 1 person.
Okay.
And I got my own room that was around the corner. But I was doing everything that was wrong. I didn't want to use anymore. When I went to the Joseph House, I said, I want to become a better father, right? My kids hated me. I've been to penitentiary 3 times. I said, I want to become a better father. So I went to a program called the Child House, the Fatherhood Program. So if any person in society that wants to become a better father, a better uncle, I suggest that you go to the Fatherhood Program ran by the Child House. 1 class a week, y'all. You're going to get a lot out of it. And I became a better father. I became how to learn how to become a father to my kids. I learned how to become a grandfather to my grandkids, right? I learned how to become a son to my mother. I became to learn how to be an uncle to my nieces and nephews, right? And in the fatherhood program, they took me to an event called Father of the Year, my first year. And I said, wow, I want to become a Father of the Year. I want that. So I kept striving, y'all. It didn't happen right away. And that's another thing I heard God tell me. He said, long as I don't put one in me, sky's the limit.
Okay.
Sky's the limit. And guess what, y'all? I'm still going. As you look, I told you I felt that I didn't qualify to be on the show, right? I didn't feel like I was worthy enough. I did not qualify. I didn't think I was worthy enough to be on the show.
Now, how much sobriety or whatever you call it, clean time, how much you share with the listeners how much time you have right now?
I have 14 years, 11 months, and 23. What's today? Hold on. What's today's day? Today's the
13th. The 13th.
And I have 11 months, and 11 months. I mean, 14 years, 11 months, and 23 days clean.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to keep
congratulations.
Eating up things.
Congratulations. Now let me put the other part on there.
Yep.
Now you said, okay, with 13 years, I'm talking to the listener, right? 13 years. You've been through all that. You got you work in a program. It sounds like you work in a program. You said coming on, you felt like you wasn't qualified enough
worthy
to be on here.
Yes, sir, worthy enough. I wasn't qualified.
Okay, what wasn't worthy enough? What makes you think now the drugs gone? We done been through the war store. Okay, you got this clean time now. Share with the listeners what you might think. What's causing you not feeling worthy enough to be on here?
Yeah, because, you know, when I turn around, you know, this is like being when I got clean And I got a job, right? I got a job that I don't have a college education. I don't have a PhD. I don't have anything, you know. And that inner me said I'm not good enough. That's, you know, I said that I'm still learning myself. I'm still growing.
Okay.
But don't get out there, y'all. I'm still growing. I'm still learning who I am. I'm still learning who God is directing me to be today. So when you get some clean time, don't think that everything is pieces of cream.
Now you're sharing.
The top you gave me, dealing on life and life terms, basically. Today, I told you my kids hated me, right? So I said I wanted to become a better father. So in 2018, I became Father of the Year through the Tower House, right? Pro Fatherhood Program. I became Father of the Year. My kids voted to say I was worthy enough to be Father of the Year after them not hate me, me going to penitentiary three times. They started respecting me. My daughter Nat never said she loved me. She tell me she loves me today, y'all.
Okay. Was this a process?
Yes, sir. It's a truly process. I told you I got clean in 2000. I started the process in 2009. And I told you, as long as I put one in, the skies was the limit.
Right.
Overnight. And that's 9 years later, from 2009 to 2018. When that happened, me and my kids started, you know, come be, you know, be a part of me, you know, and me become a Father of the Year. And stuff happened. Listen, I tell you, I started the job working for a job to call Sudden Change, right? Sudden Change LLC located, which would take felons and give them opportunities to do construction, clean up, and struggle, final clean. Yeah, I became the general manager of that company, which I'm still part of today. I said, because, you know, I don't have these titles, right? Because you had doctors on here before. I watched your podcast. You've had doctors. You've had, you know, so many people on here that it made me feel like I wasn't,
right. Let me jump in. Okay. Yeah. I had some doctors and all that stuff. Right. But here's the thing. They all recovering.
Yes, sir.
Something.
Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. They all recovering from something. Because on this podcast here, but we ain't really worried about your status. Right. I ain't really worried about your degrees. I'm not really worried about the house you have. You can talk about all that, but I want to talk about to the people that's out there struggling. See, we can relate. See, they can relate to you. They can relate to the doctors, right? And that's why I'm glad you touched on your kids, because there's some listeners right now that's listening to this, that's listening to you, and they want their kids back. But I heard you tell them to hold on, okay? So say, keep doing what you're doing, man. Yeah, but go ahead, man.
You know, and I appreciate that. I appreciate you, you know, you're encouraging me. And I think, you know, that's what we do in recovery. We encourage one another, you know. Yeah. Like, things is not smoking screens. Everything ain't cherry, peaches and cream. Everything ain't strawberries and bananas, right?
But
as long as you don't put one in, you got opportunity to see something different, right? Like I say, I sat in boardrooms with billionaires. You know, father being as a general manager for Sudden Change. Today, I am a service coordinator for over 100 people in this building I work in. I work in one of the roughest buildings in Cincinnati, in Avondale, called Haddon Hall. You know, but everybody respects and loves me here, man, because of the spirit that God has given me. You know, and I'm so grateful, y'all, that I have not tried to come up with a bright idea to go mess my life up all over again. We'll be right back.